Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I am Heath Mulligan.
And I am Mark Whitman.
And we are the Wrestling Podcast, and we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff. And right now, I want to talk about some stuff, all right? I need to get something off my chest, Mark.
Okay.
We did an episode, and there'll be a link in the show notes, a little over a year ago, maybe 14 months ago. Captain America, Steve Rogers, number one comes out.
Okay.
And it's this big deal that at the very end, Steve Rogers throws one of the good guys out the plane and he says, Hail Hydra. Mm-hmm. And, oh, man, the internet explodes.
I went to the comic book shop and bought the issue just because I needed to read it.
That's right. And it was like, oh, my goodness.
Just what any great heel turn does. It'll pop business.
Yes. And so we recorded an episode about that. And then when issue two came out, we also recorded it's called the Captain America heel turn that wasn't.
Right.
What you find out in Steve Rogers, Captain America 2, is that basically Hydra has gotten a cosmic cube.
Mm-hmm.
It has taken on the personality of a little girl. They've convinced this little girl, the cosmic cube, that Hydra's the greatest thing ever. And she changes all of reality. So that Steve Rogers has been a Hydra. Well, you don't know. Has Steve Rogers been Hydra all along, and the good and the Allied powers used the cosmic cube to convince him otherwise, that he was really a true American hero? Or did Hydra just get the cosmic cube and change things after the war or whatever? So you don't know. What Marvel was very... But anyway, you find out Captain America didn't turn heel. It's a cosmic cube. So there's about to be spoilers galore for Secret Empire. And I'm not sorry to spoil it for you, because if I can save you time and money from buying this, you'll thank me later. Because Marvel comes out, and everybody's assuming it's a comic book trick, right? Well, that's not the real Steve Rogers. And Marvel was like, oh, no, that's the real Steve Rogers. This is the real Steve Rogers. And he is a bad guy. So then Secret Empire Zero comes out, okay? One of the best comics I've ever read in my entire life. Because what if Captain America's a bad guy? What if Captain America is the puppet master pulling all the strings? And he's manipulating everything. And you just see his plan coming together. And then it gets to that page where it's just like, oh, crud.
Oh, crud.
And they just realize, oh, goodness. And Captain America's a bad guy. The first couple of issues are really good. So it's Secret Empire's 10 issues. I mean, it's the zero and then 10. And the first couple of issues is, you know, Captain America taking control of America and taking control of the world, and he is a dictator, and S.H.I.E.L.D. has voted him these emergency powers so that he can be in charge. Like, they have made him the leader of America, you know. Unwittingly. And this is the problem, though, okay? I remember one of the issues, you get to the last page, and you see like a disheveled Steve Rogers, and you can tell it's like in a different dimension. And he's got a beard, and he's like, where am I? What's going on? And it's like, okay, what's going on?
So you were saying the same thing he was saying. He's going, hey, what's going on?
Right.
And then you see it and you go, hey, where is he? What's going on?
And I've talked about it before. Again, we did an episode after Civil War. They killed Captain America. And Captain America Reborn is the worst mainstream comic miniseries ever.
Mm-hmm.
Start to finish, it's complete and utter garbage. It's ridiculous. I mean, I'm a comic book fan, and I'll suspend my disbelief.
I have never, ever, I don't think, read a Captain America storyline that was any good. The problem is they're trying to force... Captain America is the Roman Reigns of comic books. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to... Everybody wants Like
the that's
Marvel,
pretty good.
They want the Marvel Civil War stuff to include Fantastic Four and the X-Men, and they can't do it because they don't have the rights to
right.
it. So they have to force these B and C and D level characters on it. They have to make me believe that Hawkeye is a big deal in the Marvel comic universe just because they can't get the rights to Wolverine and Cyclops.
Right, right, right.
So all and, these Captain America's Roman Reigns, man.
Yeah. So you get to, and this is the problem with comics a lot, is you have this really long, drawn-out story, and in the last three pages, everything comes together nice and neat. When Marvel did Secret Invasion, I want to say it's seven issues. End of issue six, they're getting ready for this big, huge battle.
Uh-huh.
And it's like,
spend
oh my
six God. Issues getting there, and then the battle actually lasts three panels.
So you end issue six, the battle is on.
Uh-huh.
Issue seven starts telling you how the battle went.
Right.
There is no battle. Like, it just tells you.
Is this the same? We're still talking about the same comic?
No, I'm just saying.
You jumping around.
What I'm trying to say is that's what they do in Secret Empire. So Secret Empire, somehow the cosmic cube gets broken into pieces. So everybody's trying to find these pieces of the cube, and Captain America is manipulating the heroes to go look for pieces that aren't there. Because he's trying to get the cosmic cube, and then he's going to just be basically God.
Right.
So that's the problem, first of all, okay?
God is the
problem. No, God is not the problem.
Okay.
What I'm saying is they have put something in the comic that is like, okay, if you get this, you can change everything. It's like, it's so lazy.
Right. And
so then they even on top of that, okay, so the heroes, they're totally out of luck. They need this piece of the cosmic cube. They can't find it. It's the only way to beat Captain America.
And I know what you're going to say because you've told me about this.
And Marvel has painted themselves into a corner
right.
of like, man, we made Captain America a bad guy. People don't really like Captain America being a bad
right.
guy.
Right, who would have thought?
So they go and they're going to break, there's some heroes that have been in prison. So they're going to break them out. And they get there and they're already broken out. And one of the guys, his power is he can literally vomit. Anything he imagines, he can vomit.
How convenient.
How freaking convenient.
I remember you telling me that.
So sure enough, they're like, oh, you can. He vomits.
You know what we need right now is a piece of that cosmic cube. Oh, well, heck, hang on just a second.
That's exactly what he does. He vomits up a piece of the cosmic cube. And it's like, what in the world?
Mm-hmm.
So then they use that piece of the cosmic cube and they, as Captain America's there and he's got his cosmic cube and he's about to just have all this power and just destroy everybody, they shoot the Ant-Man and Ant-Man and somebody else have shrunk down.
Mm-hmm.
And what you realize at this point is this Steve Rogers that you've been seeing in this other dimension, he's in the cosmic cube because the cosmic cube is this little girl and she realizes, oh, Hydra's bad guys. Oh no, what do I do? So she has imagined Steve Rogers in the cosmic cube. So he is a figment of her imagination. All right. And so they realize he's in there. So they use their little piece of the cosmic cube to combine with the other one. And they go in there and basically pull the Steve Rogers in the cosmic cube, who's a figment of the cosmic cube's imagination, and they pull him into reality, and he becomes real. So when they tell you that Steve Rogers is really bad guy, it's just like, oh, man, how do we get around this? Hey, let's just use the cosmic cube to create another Steve Rogers who's still the real Steve Rogers and let them fight. And it was the laziest storytelling. It was so maddening. It was just like, it just made me sick, man. It was just like, for like the first two or three episodes, like I am really into this. Like, oh man, this story is amazing. And you see these heroes and they're all in despair because it's like Captain America. You can't beat Captain America. And It was just terrible. And like, Marvel, you're not getting any more of my money. Like, you're just not.
Are they getting any of your money anyway?
Yes, because there was a couple of the issues I didn't want to wait on, and I'm like, oh, I could go ahead and, you know, so that's the thing, man. It's just, and that's the difference between Marvel and DC right now. Marvel could stop to making comics today, they'd be fine with their movies. DC should probably stop making movies.
Right. Yeah,
but their comics.
Yeah, they're telling great comic stories.
And they're doing some things in the comics that are just great because they're getting back to the core of who their characters are. And I think Marvel doesn't know who they are.
I do. I've been saying this is the problem since you and I started talking about comics on the show, is they're writing comics to inform their movies, so they're not giving any good storylines to the characters that they don't own anymore.
Well, that's
characters that people care about. That,
right.
Like me, reading comics back in the 80s and the 90s, it was Wolverine, it was the X-Men, it was the Fantastic Four, and they're not telling good stories with them anymore because they don't want to waste their good stories on the characters that are not in their movies.
And
nobody cares about the characters that are in their movies as they relate to comic books.
Yeah, and Marvel has tried to launch a lot of, but even the characters that they do own, they're making Captain America a bad guy. It's like, even the characters they do own, they
because they spent 30, 40 years not writing for those characters. Those characters got the secondary stories.
Right.
They didn't get the best stories. And now they're having to figure out how to write for those characters. Because it didn't matter how they wrote for Captain America before, because nobody read Captain America.
No, that's probably true.
So now they have to figure out how to write for characters that they haven't had to worry about for years.
The thing with Marvel is they've painted themselves into another corner in that the only thing that sells for them is these big series.
Right.
That these big crossover events that, and to be honest, that's the only thing I've been reading. I haven't been reading the individual comics. I only read, I've been reading, you know, Captain America, Steve Rogers, and Secret Empire because they really tied in together.
I couldn't keep up with it, dude. Remember last year when the Reborn came out of Rebirth?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I'm going to follow this. And it lasted for about 2 months. And I realized how much it was going to cost me to keep up with those dang stories. And I just said, man, I know, but I'm not as savvy.
But here's, okay, but here's part of that, okay? Because I did the same thing. Because when Rebirth started, I started reading all. I was reading Flash and Wonder Woman, Superman, and then after about 2 months, I'm like, all these heroes are about to start doing their own thing, and eventually they'll all come back for this main storyline. And right. So that's just when I went to Batman. That's right. Where I defaulted to. So the Batman's, and they're doing a Batman story now called Dark Knight Metals, and it's like really good, and a lot of like loose ends of Batman stories from the last 10 years. They're pulling into this.
A couple of questions that I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Have they addressed the three Joker situation?
They're in the process of that.
Okay, so when it's over with, tell me that.
Yeah.
Tell me how that goes, because I am interested in that.
Yeah.
Have they addressed Watchmen being part of this year?
That's coming up. That starts in November.
So it's a year and a half later, they tease this story, and they still haven't done anything to get with.
So, no, they've left some, like, little, they've done certain things to remind you of, hey, this story's coming up. And I'm really excited for that. I think they're calling it, not Doomsday Hour, something like that. But it's going to be, now, they just revealed.
0 Hour?
No.
Wasn't that what it was called in the?
That was one. No, there was a series called 0 Hour.
It was like the Doomsday Clock or something.
Doomsday Clock, that's the name of it.
Yeah, Doomsday Clock.
So they just revealed there's been this guy behind the scenes, Mr. Oz, who has been capturing different people. And he just revealed himself of who he is.
Ozymandias?
No.
No?
Jor-El, Superman's dad.
Really?
And his whole thing is, you know, this world doesn't deserve you, mankind is evil, and I don't know how he's going to fix it. But he just revealed himself to Superman. Of course, they're probably going to do a deal where
it's not really
him. And
somebody used his DNA from some piece of kryptonite.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it won't actually be Jor-El. Spoiler alert.
Might be Jor-El from like another Earth.
There
could
you go.
Be. That's
yeah,
very.
They've always got that to fall back on. That's their go-to. Where they get DC's got the cosmic cube, and they have the alternate universes and
right.
DC. Oh well, that's just another Flash. We'll bring him back. He's just been out there in the ether floating around.
Right.
We'll bring him back.
Right.
He's good. He's good now. You see, he's all straightened out.
Yeah. But no, for me, one of the things they're doing is you found out there's like this evil creature. I don't even know how to describe it. It's like the metal storyline, which is it's everybody, but it's centered around Batman. It's explaining a lot of things that happen. The real reason for the Court of Owls, what their real purpose is. So that's been really cool. And it's tying in things that happened, you know, 10 years ago when Grant Morrison was writing right. Batman. Right. So, but I mean, just a lot of really good. I mean, DC to me, I don't know that they've ever gotten Batman wrong.
They take great pains to make sure they get him right, I think.
Right.
He's
going
to get their best storylines, their best writers, and their best artists will always go to Batman.
Yeah. And it's like, who can you say that about Marvel?
Right. You used to be able to say it about the X-Men.
Because for a while, Peter Parker wasn't even Spider-Man.
No.
And right now, Tony Stark is not even alive. Like, it's a Tony Stark artificial intelligence who's doing everything. So it's like, so there's another knock against Secret Empire. So at the end of Civil War II, you're going to kill off Tony Stark. So Tony Stark's not out of the picture, but yet he is in the picture because it's artificial intelligence. So it's like, you can't have it both ways. Either Tony Stark's out of the picture or he's not out of the picture.
Right.
So don't come back and tell me, well, Tony Stark wasn't a part of that. Well, yeah, he was.
And here, you know, I think, and I could be wrong about Marvel, but they had this big push for diversity.
Right.
Where they kind of wanted to get rid of him and have a female be.
Yes.
They're getting rid of Hulk and we'll have an Asian American
yeah.
or something. He became the Hulk. Why not? Why not? And I get that.
No,
I don't
right.
have a problem with diversity. I think it's great to write strong female characters,
yeah.
strong African American characters. I got no problem with that. But why not elevate Black Panther?
Yeah.
And I know that they have, I guess, to an
right.
extent because of the movie. Or why not come up with new characters?
That's right. That's what I, yeah,
that
I
can,
agree with you.
That could come along and be on the same level as an Iron Man or a Captain America.
See, that's...
And fight alongside them instead of replacing...
Right.
I don't understand.
And even with Thor, it was Jane, whatever her
yeah,
name is.
It was a female. Right?
Yeah, his girlfriend becomes Thor. So they did that with... Captain Marvel, who was a guy for the longest time, but he was a very, very, very minor character.
Yeah, right.
And so they made it a girl, and now that they're doing a Captain Marvel movie.
Right, right.
So, like, to me, I agree 100% what you said. It's like, if you want diversity, don't make the Hulk Asian. Make a new
don't
amazing Asian character.
Right. Don't get rid of Tony Stark. Elevate War Machine. Elevate Rhodes, you know.
Yes.
Elevate the Falcon.
Right.
And elevate them to that level. Well, why get rid of
right.
established characters and then try almost have to start over
right.
and explain this? When if you would just explain, man, like we really needed the Falcon's help here.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the Falcon is the hero of Secret Empire.
Okay.
He is the hero.
There you go. So, like, that's how, to me, that's a better way to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But again, here's the deal. Right now, you know what? He's not the Falcon. He's Sam Wilson, Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you've spent decades building up this character of the Falcon, but in his finest moment, he's Captain America.
Right.
Like, let him be the Falcon. Let him be... But I, you know, it's just so frustrating because now Marvel is basically doing another reboot. It's like every year we're going to get a reboot of this. Whereas DC, to me, what they're doing is not, I mean, it's a rebirth, but they're kind of bringing everything together. I'm really excited for that, man. I just, because I don't know what it's going to be because I haven't read all the spoilers yet. I'm going to tell you, comics, now I don't search for comic spoilers. But until, like, I mean, if comics come out on Wednesday, it's Thursday before stuff's online about what happened.
Right.
Like, it's not like Tuesday night you're seeing what's going to happen. I mean, I'm sure if you looked for it, you could, but it's not like movies and stuff like that. So maybe that's the...
You know, comics are like wrestling in a lot of ways. When it's done right, they're really good. When it's done poorly, it's just awful.
Right, right. You know what else? When done right is great. When done poorly, it's terrible.
What's that?
This show, the Double Drop Kick Show. And I like it when we can just sit down and talk. You had no idea. I just hit record.
You did. I've been asking to do a show on a certain subject for 6-8 months now.
We're not.
Still hadn't done it. Heath just says, I'll let you know what we're going to talk about when I hit record. And he talks about what he wants to talk about. Because that's what we do here. We talk about what Heath wants to talk about.
And then Mark whines and complains about it. While the ratings go through the roof and the downloads go through the roof.
That is true. Like, when you started doing a show, like, you start doing a show without me, and all of a sudden, you're like, I'll tell you how many downloads we got last month.
Hey, speaking of downloads, iTunes and Stitcher Radio is where you can go. We need you to subscribe and hit that download button. Also, leave us a rating and review on iTunes. It literally takes you 10 seconds. You got 10 seconds? You got 10 seconds?
Quit fiddling with yourself for 10 seconds at the soothing sound of Heath's voice saying, guess how you got to get it if you want to get it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's how you got to do it if you want to get it.
There we go. Here we go, baby. We got a patrons group, patreon.com/doubledropkick for as low as $1 a month. You get into our patrons only group. We do live videos in there. We do have discussions there. We don't have anywhere else. We have a lot of discussions in our group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With, which has 95. That number's going down because I just have no tolerance for people anymore. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, I would rather that group have a lower number of sane, sophisticated people who know how to have a conversation.
I would have rather had our group have 400 people.
Right.
That knew how to converse with one another than have 95,000 people that all want to have the same conversation.
No, you're right. You're right. We may do a great social experiment with that. We may, we may just do something completely wacky. But anyway, you know, thanks for all your support. We want to hear from you on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show.
All right, then. So this is episode 201. 201, many more to go. But as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.